Good evening. This is the Finance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is LaVarne Williams. I'm Treasurer and Chair of the Finance Committee. And today is Wednesday, January the 23rd, 2008. At this time, what I would like to do, since there have been selections of new directors and also new officers at most stations, I would like to welcome the new members who are currently on the call. And also, we would like to nominate a secretary pro tem, since our previous secretary made a choice to no longer continue on the LSB. So at this time, I'd like to welcome Summer Reese from KPFK.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. And I would like to nominate Terry Goodman to be the secretary pro tem for this meeting. And if we may have a second on that?
Okay.
Do we need to discuss this? Are there any other people who are interested in being secretary pro tem? Are there any objections to Terry being secretary pro tem? Well, thank you very much. So I think the committee has approved Terry Goodman to be secretary pro tem for this meeting today, Wednesday. So then I'll turn it over to Terry for the roll call.
Dave Adelson, absent. Barudi Bediako. I'll try again later. Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Here.
Jane Gatewood. Absent. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Alberto Luera. Absent. Sandra Rahlheim.
Present.
Summer Reese.
Present.
Bertold Reimers. Absent. LaVarne Williams.
Present.
Barudi Bediako.
Present.
Thank you. We have quorum.
Thank you very much. I think when I did the agenda, I dropped off approval of the agenda. So did everyone, hello? Did someone come on the call?
Hi.
Who joined the call?
Dave.
Hi, Dave. Dave Adelson, present.
Okay. I dropped off. We were just going over the agenda item for approval of the agenda. So the question, did everyone have an opportunity to look at the agenda? Essentially, it's the same from the last meeting. Is there any discussions, revisions, updates on the agenda?
I'm just curious. What I'm looking at is the CFO report, the audit status, and new business. Is that what we're talking about?
We're just talking about, you're right. Basically, yeah, that's the meat of the agenda.
Okay.
So, Dave, anyway, I was saying I've got about 30, 45 minutes on the call. I've got to get up early. And we haven't finished the board pack.
I'm just wondering, I thought one of the things we were going to at least talk about was the status, not just of the BAI budget, also of the PRA and National Office budget,
right?
Because isn't that continuing resolution expire at this meeting?
Well, I have a motion in connection with it that maybe I could present and motivate.
Well, that should be somewhere in the agenda, should it not?
I'd say that should be item one in the agenda.
I think so, too.
I can do it as part of the CFO report.
Right.
Can we make that priority one in the CFO report?
Absolutely.
Sure.
That's what we discussed, but okay, we didn't have it. It's explicit. A1 would be, Terry has this, okay, would be discussion and approval of the budgets for BAI, the National Office, and Archives. Okay, are there any other additions, changes, updates? And the point that Lonnie has made is that we will not use 60 minutes. It will be more like 25 to 30 minutes to hit on the major items here. And then we will look at trying to meet again, if that's needed, sometime before Friday at noon.
Terry?
To a teleconference. Terry?
Yeah, I sent an email indicating that the new business item 6A doesn't have a member to motivate it, so it might be dilatory and perhaps should be removed from the agenda.
Okay.
But I can't propose that.
Until the member is here to motivate the motion, then we will. So we are suggesting we keep it on the agenda until or unless the member is actually present on the call.
It's me. I won't be on.
Oh, that's right.
I won't be motivating that. So it can be dropped until somebody else brings it.
Yeah. Okay, so we could just move that to if you'd like to.
Give you another.
Place this well an ongoing as what do we need to do here? Sorry about this. Get something else. Okay, thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Okay, are there any other changes, updates, revisions? Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
A vote.
Thank you. Are there any objections? Okay, there's been a motion to move and approve the agenda. So moved. So at this point, what I'd like to do is to just briefly ask Terry if there are minutes that need to be approved.
Yes, I sent out minutes for December 10th, 2007, and January 17th, 2008.
Right. Okay. Has anyone had an opportunity to look at those? Is there a motion to approve the minutes? I'm sorry?
This is Sandra. I move to approve the minute.
Okay. Is there a second? Is that needed? Okay. I second. Okay.
Needed.
Is there discussion? Okay. Are there any objections? Thank you. So there's a motion to approve the minutes of December the 10th, 2007, and January the 17th, 2008. Thank you, Terry. So shall we move to the agenda, to the CFO report? Okay, I have no objections. So, Lonnie, would you like to start the report?
Yeah, let me start with WBAI, an update on the status. You folks will recall at our last meeting, and meetings before that, we had made a decision to develop a working group around WBAI, and the working group was going to look at the situation at the station and come up with a 90-day plan. And at this time, I'd like to sort of report out on the status of that group. And LaVarn, you and work with us along with Mr. Brugge, along with Baruti. Maybe at this point, we can report on where we are with the work plan, then I'll do the overall financial group. And then I'll do the financial at WBA. I'll do that.
Okay.
Well, the working group has had several meetings looking at the WBI situation. And we identified that in order to look at a 90-day horizon, which is a fairly short horizon, that we had to decide what could be possible within the 90-day span. The answer was a plan could be developed around WBI, looking at four or five areas. One of them was, of course, in the financial area, looking at a lot of the stuff that's in the WBI recovery plan, how to improve the fulfillment rate, looking at the expenses and the costs for the station in terms of its current occupancy costs, moving. A lot of that is in the WBAI recovery plan, which is included in the packet I sent out for folks that want to review it, especially new folks like you. Somebody can have a look at some of the work that's been done. In addition to that, we identified three other areas, and one of them was to look at an operational audit for the station. Operational audit meaning looking at the staffing, looking at the fundraising, looking at the audit process at WBI, looking at management at WBI. That would be a component, some components of the of an operational audit. And to that end, we contacted some people at Compass Point and identified what our goal was and the timetable, and they made the suggestion that we should look to non-profit folks in New York who could help us, because we pointed out that the expenses for the Compass-based organization based in San Francisco
to fly back and forth to New York. So they recommended a couple of companies in New York. Verruti looked at those companies. And at the same time, we continued to work with Explorer, with Compass Point, some other things they might do here locally. So Verruti, you want to take it from there? We did have a meeting with a person from, what's the name of her group? Or
the Nonprofit Coordinating Committee?
Elisa
Barada is the lady, the executive director.
What's that?
Nonprofit Connection.
Nonprofit Connection.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe a little bit about that conversation we had with her.
Okay. Well, basically, we outlined the goals of the working group, identified the areas that we thought were important. We talked, I guess, it was about an hour. She had some good ideas. She thought that it was definitely, helping BAI is definitely something that could be sold to organizations that fund these kind of projects. What came up in the conversation was that did she know of any way or any sources for funding for organizations for us to receive assistance in this area? And she thought that it was. She thought that, you know, WBAI was a valuable resource for the city of New York, and she thought she could possibly, you know, sell it like that in order to get some funding. Her concern was really more like the time frame in which she could, you know, raise money. But she did say that she would, you know, definitely think about it. And LaVonne, Lonnie, you guys can add what you recollect from the particular meeting. But she did think that she could be of assistance in that area. And essentially, she's going to get back to us with, I guess, sort of an outline, maybe a one-page summary of based on her understanding of what our needs are and how we should proceed. And we did indicate to her that we thought that we could buy more time, because at this point we're probably about two-thirds of the way into the original 90-day time frame. So we asked her to put together a plan or suggestions as to what could be done within 90 days beginning February 1st as an approach, because she thought that, you know, being this far into the original 90-day time period probably would be, you know, wouldn't be much she could do in about 30 days working with us. So right now we're waiting for her to get back to us at this point. And I am trying to find a second resource in the meantime, because I think we should have at least two possibilities. So I'm still working on a second possibility.
Lavar?
Oh, yeah. There's some buzz on the call, on the line. It's clear now. So, yeah, it was really exciting. It was really interesting to talk with Elisa Baraka, because she immediately picked up on, in terms of how we outlined the four major areas, and her first line was that, you know, she would look for funding to do this for us. And as Verruti says, you know, she immediately said she understood the importance of BAI as an icon in the media. And it's just, I mean, it was just really exciting. So I invited her to the meeting this weekend, and she said she would plan to be there. I think she'll try to go there on Friday. And I think that's very important, because other people may disagree. But I think that in order to do any project, you know, you need to see people the way they really work. And, you know, when you do interviews, usually people are on their best behavior, so you can't get really a feel for what the dynamics are. But I think attending this meeting, as Lonnie said, I hope it doesn't scare her away, but I think it'll just present a challenge to her. And I think that when she made the point about how important BAI is, I think, you know, she's really, really excited about it. Oh, no, really, the number one thing was when she said she'd find the outside funding. And she has people, and she can move up the approval process to get the funding, like, within 30 days. So this is, like, really, really great. And like I said, we'll have to bring on the new GM, Tony Riddle, so that, you know, she can meet him. And hopefully, you know, if she's doing the project and bringing the funding, you know, I guess that would be a challenge for anyone else we would speak to. But, yeah, this is, like, really exciting.
Oh, I should clarify. The funding she's talking about is some money for a planning process for WBI?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and it's true. Those are the easiest sort of grants to get, planning grants. And I'm excited, too. I think it's a good connection for WBI. And she seems, I agree, enthusiastic about it.
Yes.
And you almost hear, let's go 50% pro bono if we can.
Yes.
She's really into the project. So we'll see what she can do for
Anything else on that meeting, and then I'll go to the general financial situation at WDI.
That's all I have.
Well, two things. For those of you that are new, there is a new general manager that has been named at WBAI. And he's a person who some of us interviewed for the executive director position. So some of us know him from the interviews and his resume. Actually, his resume should be chopped around. But he's highly qualified. And he came through the process at WBAI, and they have, as I understand it, selected him. And he'll be a person, I think, that can really work with us on what I think of as a rejuvenation sort of strategy in connection with WBAI. For those of you that are new, here's the issues at WBAI, at least if some of us have worked with them on the financial side. The station is running with something like $200,000 or $300,000 deficit, $200,000 a year, $250,000, and it has a debt that has accumulated in the last 2 or 3 years, somewhere between $350,000 and $375,000. That is the issue. It also has other issues. People have strong feelings about the programming and why this is occurring. There is factional. People would generally agree that there are different groups at WBAI that have different visions for the station. And there is a general sense of, to some extent, burnout. But there are two new developments that I would just point to. One is a general manager who is really able to look at this WBI recovery plan, who has experience with what we call turnaround in finance. And he is very, very, very well accomplished. And I believe he can really make the recovery plan work. And I think we could not get anyone better. The second thing that's new is that in talking with the WBI folks, there was a gala that was done at WPSW, which was very successful, and they managed to make $240,000 in a $1.1 million grant from a donor who, again, had the vision that WPSW was an asset in the community and its financial future ought to be assured. I think a similar thing might happen at WBAI with a clever marketing program and some outreach. They have taken it on. And they're meeting with the paid staff and the unpaid staff toward creating a marketing plan that will result in a dinner and a gala sometime in September. It's also a plan under discussion for PRA to do a similar thing in September. And KPFK has its 50th anniversary coming up in March of 2009, and the idea would be to do a kickoff publicity campaign as well in September. Democracy Now! Is doing a gala next month, because they have a need for to rehab a building that they've apparently bought. So as a way of raising off-air revenue, that particular process of not so much doing a dinner and having a party and drinking wine, but the process of reaching out to every progressive organization in a given city is an invaluable process, because you now have institutional supporters that will at least make those folks aware of you as an asset that you've been in the community. All of this is driven by the fact that Pacifica has a number of critical anniversaries, so we're building around those anniversary dates events, and that includes these particular galas and other things as well. But the 35th anniversary of PRA next in September around, the 50th anniversary of KPFK, our station in L.A., is in March of 2009, and the network itself has a 60th anniversary coming up in 2009, in April. So WPFW, our DC station, dated 30th. So these are anniversary dates that we're looking for ways to celebrate, looking for ways to make the community more aware of what we do and to expand our influence in those communities. So that's what it's all about. Now, the bottom line on WPFW, those plans aside and those hopeful changes aside, the station still is in difficulty. And the two that I would point to right now is that we wanted and had planned to have a salary reduction at the station of 5%. That has not occurred as of this date. Maybe with a new general manager, some alternatives to doing that. Nobody wants to do that. But the general manager may come up with a plan about how he wants to proceed with the financial issues that confront the station. The other one, the deadline we're working with, at least in my mind, is in April. That revenue will be
short in April, and it may be, after we'll see how this January drive goes, that they'll face some staffing issues and simply being able to pay all the bills in the month of April. That is a looming deadline, April. So we'll see how it goes. So that's WBAI in terms of its financial situation. I don't have a recommendation on WBAI other than we continue to work at it and report back to the board every month. I think we have to continue to do that. And the decision point would be at the end of February, March, to see how this January drive goes. If it falls short, then the April issues that I spoke of will be a foregone conclusion.
Do you want to take quick questions?
Yeah, questions. Fine.
Go ahead.
Dave?
And can I get on the stack, too? It's Baruti.
Yeah.
Okay, there was someone first. Who was that?
I think Brian.
Okay, Brian, Dave, Baruti.
I didn't want to be on.
No, not Brian.
I think maybe Baruti spoke up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Two things. I wanted to get clarification. I know there was some discussion in the committee about funding that BAI had that was thought to initially be restricted funding that turned out not to be restricted funding. And we were going to look at, because I know one of the discussions that we were having about, and I know we have somebody coming in, but I just want to make sure as we transition to a new finance committee that, you know, that I guess careful track is kept of this, is that we were going to look at the possibility of using those funds. Well, one of the possibilities was moving forward with a development person. Obviously, we want to see what comes out of this 90-day plan, but is my recollection correct that is the case, that there could be some potential funding available that could be used for a development person if that's deemed to be a good investment?
Yeah, a little background. A year ago, Finance Committee and the Board at WBAI was told that a gift had been made to the station for capital for a building, and it was $169,000. And as required, the money was put in a restricted account, an investment account to be specific. Well, it turns out that was inaccurate, that the funds were not restricted for use for a building, that they were general fund money. And in the course of the audit, we were able to verify with a donor in writing who said, no, I intended it to be for general support and not restricted to for building or capital, as we refer to it. That's a serious misclassification of funds, and the auditor will speak to it on this weekend in the course of his evaluation of the finances at WBAI. That said, first question with any extra funds is what will be the first use of those funds? The amount that we now move from 169 to about 170. Well, given the way the stock market is, it might be down to 150 by now because stock market's been horrible. And we'll see. Question on the table is how should those funds be used? Some will say the major need for the station is to invest in a fund development person, and that person needs to be on board right away and begin to work on raising revenue. They could work on the proposed outreach and gala, for example, we've been talking about in September. Other board members I've talked to have said, no, deficit reduction is what ought to be first use. That is, first new money is coming out to be able to, ought to reduce the deficit. Otherwise, it just sits there and it grows. And the funds ought not be used unless there is a way to stop the hemorrhaging or a plan in place that would make sure those funds don't fritter away and be gone and don't, in fact, produce a revenue. Other folks indicate, well, whatever they are, you shouldn't do anything with them until you have a plan about their best and first use. So those are some of the things that are on the table. My thought is to have the auditor speak to it this weekend so the full board is aware of it, and then that it goes back to the Finance Committee where first and best use could be discussed in detail.
Okay. And can I ask a follow-up question?
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
How do we proceed with the working group at this point? I mean, I'm not sure who I'm asking this to. I'll be asking this to the committee because obviously, you know, we want to continue, but there's going to be a change in the members as it relates, I guess, to the committee. What's the understanding that going forward, Lonnie, in terms of the working group, and when should we meet again, I guess?
Yeah, because that's one of the things, you know, we charge the working group with, is to look at those unclassified, you know, reclassified funds. Remember, that was one of the things we were going to look at. I think that, you know, the Finance Committee would have to reconstitute the working group, and maybe new members would be interested. And the working group, by the way, is composed of John Kriegler, our FCC attorney, and our interim ED also, and people from WBAI, of course, their general manager and their program director. And who am I leaving out? LaVarne, myself, Rudy is treasurer of WBAI. And we had started that work. So we would, again, after any motions the board might make in this regard this weekend, would come back to the finance, I guess, and constitute or reconstitute or repopulate the working group.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we really don't have a plan, but basically reconstitute the working group with the new members and as I said before, you know, whatever help I can give, I will continue if required and if asked for the next, I think it's a 90-day period. But, you know, hybrid work will be fine with me. So I think Dave had a question.
Yeah, well, it's just the you know, I've heard for several years now we'll wait and see how the fund drive does, and I'm just really concerned about it. I understand in this case we've got the advantage that we've got now a permanent GM in place there, and so I'm disposed to let him try to work it out. But, you know, I just haven't seen any change from the let's see how it goes in the next interval. And the outcome of that over the last years has been continued deficit. And, you know, again, the only thing that's changed, and it's an important one, is that Anthony is there now. And so I think we should give him support. I also would like to see from him some idea of if we need to make an investment in that station, you know, where does it need to be, but then how do we know that it's going to pay off? I guess my personal feeling is I think we need to start imposing some of those changes that are in the recovery plan and not just keep waiting. And I'm interested in hearing what other people think of that.
Brian here.
Go ahead, Brian.
I'm glad to hear about all the planning you guys have in the works. And my concern is about the short term, that there is a structural deficit of BAI right now. There's already an outstanding debt, that they're spending money they don't have, and it's compromising the rest of the network. So my question, Lonnie, is kind of your hit on the new general manager. My feeling, not knowing anything about him and not knowing much about the situation, is if you send in a new person to a situation where you don't really have any extra money to invest and you actually need to make cuts first thing, you're setting that person up for failure because a certain amount of ill will is going to attach to whatever person is associated with staffing cuts. It's basically an inevitability. And if there need to be cuts in the short term, and I don't know how to read the financials any other way than to say that there needs to be spending cuts in the short term to stop the hemorrhaging there, or at least to slow it down. Is there a mechanism for making them so that, the blood's not on the new guy's hands, so that he gets at least a fresh start?
That's an excellent point to make. Well, here are the options. If I were in his shoes, I certainly wouldn't want to become the person that comes in and then starts laying people off. That's guaranteed to create bitterness and anger, and your first year will be pure hell. Although he has done it 3 or 4 times before in his resume, so he apparently has a way of getting it done without being, you know, run out of town. So we'll see what he has in his bag of ways of getting things done. The second point I would make, though, is
he's coming in with $170,000 that's uncommitted at this point. So it's not exactly, even though there's a deficit, even though there's a debt, he has the option of how best to invest those funds. That's new. He could add
how,
to those.
If BAI has a $300,000 outstanding debt, how can you say they have $170,000 that's unspoken for?
Well, I'm saying that it's recently it's recently classified as available for operating and other uses. Before, it was been classified for building only.
But
and
they still have a negative net asset balance.
Right. He could choose to pay down the debt with $169,000. He could choose to use it to avoid immediate layoffs. He could use it to invest in other revenue-producing sort of activities and buy his time and say, let's see if this investment in a fund development person will pay off in a timely way that doesn't make a difference, because that will make a difference for the station. So that's what is new in this equation. Before, WBI had no loose funds with which to make decisions. They were at the bone. They had nothing at the bottom line. Now they do. But again, the decision is how best to invest CARES funds. That's what I was alluding to earlier. There are five or six ways in which it could go. You know, all of them having an element of risk, you know. Now, on the issue of laying people off, we went through this a couple of years ago, and we did explore all of the possibilities. I won't go through them all. But the humane ways of doing it were clear. You don't lay people off at all. You reduce hours first by giving people time to adjust. You can do in New York what's called partial layoffs. That is, the state of New York will if you are working part-time, they'll give you what's called partial unemployment, where you get one-third of one-half of your salary. Say if you're working part-time, that they'll pay up to one-third of your other half of your salary. You can do job co-outplacement, where you don't lay off people until they found something else that's suitable and works for them. So there are ways to do it that are available. And I'm sure this fellow knows all those ways. So, there are not great choices out there, but there are better choices other than sort of a blanket layoff, and I'm sure he'll think of those.
Okay. Is there anything else?
So basically, you are putting it all on him.
Well, I'm an advisor. I can provide technical assistance. I can give a person history and support. But in the end, general manager is the person on the ground.
I mean, that
local board and the people at that station are the ones who, in the end, know best what will work. A lot of ideas out there, but the issue on the table is what will work and what can, you know, which one of the many choices that are there are the ones that will work at that station. Now, if they fail to act, they say, nope, we don't want to do anything, then people like us, Finance Committee and the PNB, would have an obligation to step in.
I guess the problem I'm wrestling with, Lonnie, is that 6 months ago when we went through the budget approval process, there was a consensus amongst everyone concerned that there had to be some amount of cuts at BAI to slow down the hemorrhaging. And the only concern that was voiced with the budget that was passed through this committee was that those proposed cuts were not severe enough. And now you're telling us the limited cuts that were in that budget, which did not appear to be enough to actually balance it, if you used realistic revenue forecasts, have not been implemented. I'm concerned about how much we're bleeding right now. And I'm concerned
if you dump that all
in the new guy because we didn't do our job 6 months ago, you are painting a target on his chest and setting him up for failure.
Depends on the guy, I suppose. Some people do this well. His specialty is what we call turnaround, humane turnaround. But no, the question is, what happened? Why didn't the cuts go through? Well, if you were paying attention to those board meetings, the board itself delayed those cuts, both on humane grounds and on some technical grounds, where several board people, especially a delegation from New York, stated that the unpaid staff had not been consulted with, that there was union clauses that had not been complied with by the general manager, and that those steps couldn't and shouldn't be skipped. And the board agreed. So that postponed layoffs. And in the and there was a referral to the need to follow the union process. That was proceeding, and then, of course, you have the new fellow coming in, and as always, incentive to, well, let's wait until the new fellow comes in and see what how he wants to proceed. So that's what's happened in the last 2 or 3 months, at least from where I've sat. And meantime, the other areas that we talked about in terms of fulfillment was to increase the rate at which premiums were being sent out. That is to say, customers who haven't gotten their premiums by the second drive are not going to necessarily be buying premiums for the first drive. They haven't gotten their premiums. The premium director quit, and a new person was hired in that job, and the premiums and the fulfillment process has been outplaced at this point, and they're moving ahead with a new reorganization in that department. So why hasn't it worked? Well, take a choice. You can say it worked because the board didn't do their job, or the board followed union rules, or it didn't work because it's too little too late. It didn't work because the funds weren't available, or that the new revenues have not been coming through. They've not been increasing. They're flat. Flat isn't good enough because expenses go up. You know, take your choice as to what's the cause of the problem. So the answer, though, is, you know, what, if you look at what people are proposing as answers, the answers are have a small group look at it carefully, get some serious planning done, take the any new funds that come up and make a serious decision about how they're best used, and then new funds did come up, and that's $170,000. That's not peanuts. That's a considerable sum of money. That could make a difference at WBI. Implement the WBI recovery plan, which is to say move out of the building, which is draining resources at $700,000 a year. Sure, WBI would be a solvent station if they weren't paying $700,000 in utility space costs. They would be okay. Question is, who can implement what is a sophisticated plan for moving the station out of that building? You're talking loans, you're talking banks. And I wrote it down. It's really there in the WBI recovery plan. They would save $25,000 a month following that plan. And that's $250,000. That's serious dollars. That's more than $300,000. Yeah, that's serious dollars. And so if they were to follow the move out of that building, which WPFW is going to do as well, it's the same issue, they would be a solvent station, and the numbers are there in that report. So,
Dave?
Yeah.
Levine, am I recognized?
Yeah, I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. Go ahead, please.
So I have a related set of questions. I remember, and I'm going from memory here, I don't remember whether it was 200 or 300,000 from mail drop income that the national office was going to coordinate was to go to WBAI to help them make their budget. And I think there was 100,000 going to KPFT. And I remember looking at a recent income statement and seeing that the revenue from the mail drops last year didn't make the 1.9 million projected. I think it was 1.5, if I'm remembering correctly, and I apologize because I don't have the documents in front of me at the moment. But if we fell short by 400,000 in that income, what happened to the money that was to go to the BAI? And overall, what's the status of national office contributions to BAI, both bottom line for last year and on an ongoing basis so far this year?
Oh, boy, there's a lot of questions in there. Let me go over the. You're thinking about 06 rather than 07, where
07 budget included a mail drop that was to be done with BAI. And the issue that we had was, remember, that we were projecting going from, I think it was 900,000 or a million. I'll pull up the documents in a minute.
I'm looking at it now.
Some stuff at work. But 2006 mail drop income was close to 1 million. And the projection, the budget for FY07 was $1.9 million, and we had that long discussion about whether we could really expect to double up on that and what would happen if we didn't make it. So my memory when I was looking, I don't know whether it was an audit, whether it was an income statement late last year, late last fiscal, or whether it was the audit, but I remember seeing the number 1.5 as the actual income that came in. So that's a $400,000 shortfall. What was done to deal with that? A, is that real? B, what was done to deal with it? C, did WBAI get its money? And D, how much money is the national office subsidizing BAI with right now?
Okay, let me walk through it. True, we did budget 1.9 in mail drop income, but that was a mixture of mail drop income and request. What happened was, while we didn't make the 1.9, we made 1.5, we reduced expenses connected with the mail drop. Remember, we went through that discussion saying that we've been doing it for two or three years, so we know which lists are performing. And so we just reduced the cost and still ended up with a better outcome. So if we go 1.9, and we end up with 1.5, but we spent only 1.1, so we actually did better. We had better outcomes by simply reducing the volume of the mailings. That worked out very well. National Office bottom line improved, not got worse. So we just got smart. We know how to do these things and how to compensate. If those lists aren't performing, we don't mail to them. And we have now, people we know who to mail to, who support national programming. The issue on WBAI, yes, that was true. KPFT, they had agreed to do a joint mailing. We thought they could raise $100,000. But there was no follow-through. They had a change in the fund development person. We're happy to do this stuff. We do it all the time. We were willing to work with stations and show them how it was done and share with what we learned. But in the KPFT situation, there was a change in the fund, their development person, and there was no follow-through. She was leaving. And it did not. We were actually offered to write the thing, and Bill was working with them very closely. But there was no follow-through, and therefore the funds weren't raised. You have to work at it. It just not happens. It doesn't happen by magic.
So let me just make sure I'm understanding what you're telling me. So the money that was supposed to go to WBAI from that initiative was never raised and never went.
That's right. Part of it was they didn't.
But that money was a crucial part of their budget. What did they do in the wake of that absence?
Well, what happened was that while they didn't raise the $100,000 because they didn't follow through on it, and part of it is that it went out. We actually did a mailing for them, a smaller mailing for their relapsed members. They had something like 63,000 relapsed members. In mailing to those folks, they found out a lot of those folks were angry at the station and they weren't cooperating. Now, what happened with $100,000 basically was in the follow-on year, that is, we got word a year ago, July, that the station was eligible for an HD grant, that is to say, of $83,000. So, on paper, at least, it offset the lack of income from that mailing with a grant for HD, that is, of $83,000. Of course, there's a match that goes with it. So, it sort of offset it. The second offset in that same year is the aforementioned $170,000 that previously was thought to be restricted. It now became a part of the operating, so it was in effect found revenue that didn't show up before because it was sitting in a restricted account in the balance sheet. Now it was available for the income. So they had some offsets. It didn't solve their problems, but it didn't. These offsets did not make the station go worse. So that's sort of how all that got balanced off.
Is there anyone else?
Yes. I wanted to get back on the stack.
Please, Baroudi.
Two things, Lonnie. I know the issues around the salary reduction and whether the IGM had followed the proper protocol. My understanding was that he was going back to follow the steps as outlined. You know if I don't know if he's still there or not, but did he finish going through all of that process? Because I'm concerned too that I guess sort of what Brian is saying, that the new person is going to have to be the heavy on some decisions that should have been taken care of already.
Yeah. My last word was that a meeting had been set up and he was planning to go and move things forward after having identified the need. And, of course, that was going, he was going to listen to the input from this case, the unpaid staff, and see if they had better ideas to avoid layoffs. And that was 30 days ago. So I don't know the update on what transpired. So I'm sure that he was aware of the new fellow coming in, and he said maybe he shouldn't make a decision, and the new fellow should make a decision. You know how that goes.
And the other thing is, I think although we didn't get the funds that that were budgeted for from the mailing, I think ultimately what happened was that the station built up a debt to the national office.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Kind of like
one
way or the other. Yeah.
How did that work mechanically? Was that just a question of the health care benefits being paid and not reimbursed, or were there payments transferred from the national office?
Thanks for that question. Gives me a chance to whine. What happens with all stations, by the way, WDF particularly, but all stations, if a station doesn't make revenue, its revenue targets, and remember, all stations did not make their revenue targets last year. Basically, there's less revenue for the national office. There's an automatic reduction in our budget. That is, we're expecting, and it's the next month. If a station had a $900,000 target for in October and they only do $800,000, well, the very next month is that the difference of $100,000 is a $20,000 shortfall in our budget. So I plan for that. That's why we do the mail drops, because on-air revenue is volatile and certainly flat. Flat is bad because expenses go 10 or 15% a year. They don't stop. So if the revenue doesn't come in, stations say, oh, great, I can pay less central services, but not realizing that creates a hardship because the billings go up. There's the cost of health insurance, you name it, goes up. So that's the first part of how the mechanics work. The second one is billbacks. If a station has those things as billbacks, which is say, here's your part of the pension plan that we pay for, here's your part of the health insurance, here's your part of the insurance, here's your part of earthquake insurance. Stations take 3 months to get paid from listeners, and so they will sometimes delay those payments. They don't have the funds. They say, I can't give you the funds until I get the drive, finish the drive, get the drive receipt. So it takes 3 months. It is as if you had to pay only one-third of your mortgage each month. Well, who's paying the other two-thirds? The answer is the national office. That's why I got to have 3 months where they're operating. The second point is stations will simply say, I don't have the money. And WBI simply didn't have the money. And you try to force them to pay. You go into their bank account and you see they don't really have the money. What do you do? You can say to the general manager, well, in order to get the money, you must lay off people. And that takes months. It's not like an instant sort of saving. So it's a tough situation. Or another thing that happens is the board of directors introduced $150,000 worth of unbudgeted money. And that had to be paid. So it was like a mandated payment. And we had $50,000 worth of extra cost. Were elections over and above both stations.
Given that the national mail drop campaign didn't raise what was projected, I just looked at the most recent financial statement, and I think with the audit it changed. I'm seeing a number of 797,000. Am I cell for last year?
You look at the budget, but you have to read both numbers together: donations and mail drops.
Uh huh.
Yeah, read both numbers together, the 326,000 with the 797, right?
Okay, so that takes us to about 1.1, right? So where did this money come from? I mean, you guys, if I recall, didn't even have your 1 month. You're paying BAI expenses. You're paying the unbudget expenses you just talked about. Where did all this money come from?
Where did it come from? You mean where did it go?
No, I've got a sense of where it all went. Where it came from is what I'm trying to figure. Did we have investment accounts that were drawn down? Is that how it all happened?
Yeah, I remember when the board, I think.
I remember one thing where we took money out of the investment account, but all the others as well?
Yeah, that's the only source of funds. Remember, I pointed it out to the board. I said, if you insist on these particular payments, $175,000, there's no money for it. It will come from the investment account. I think LaVon was asking where, in fact, it would come from, and I was telling her it would come from the investment account or from the bequests that we were aware were coming through. That's one source of where the funds come from.
Are all the other stations up to date in what they've paid you? In other words, you've gotten all that you were slated to get from all other stations during 07?
Well, that's an interesting question, too. But that's, you can look at the balance sheet, and that'll give you the answer to that. Because the balance, I tried to fix the balance sheet this time around so that we can see what's current, to say, current amount of money that's owed by stations and to whom. What's, you know, from last year and back to 01, 02. So that, if you want me to go into detail, I can go to the balance sheet and show you who's owed who. But right now, the national office is owed like $700,000, which is to say monies that we owe other people because, and money that other people owe us. Of that amount, BAI is about 300, as I said earlier, $375,000, $400,000 they owe us. That's their debt. Most of it's to us. And that's over years, of course, but the last year and a half, it has grown exponentially. But before that, it wasn't that high. That's the issue. We're a network. Let's take another example like KPFK. If KPFK has the building blow up and the transmitter's down and it doesn't raise money and it has an $800,000 shortfall in its budget, for reasons it may could have controlled and reasons it couldn't control. Well, who pays that money? You would end up laying off all of the staff, or you would end up making a special appeal to the listeners, or at any rate, all of it would be a disaster for the national office because we would not have those funds. It would ripple around the entire network. And then, as you know from the history, you could say to other stations, look, this station's in trouble. You all are going to have to divvy up. We're going to have to pay to keep the station on the air as a revenue-producing source rather than have it produce no revenue, best to produce some revenue. We did that with the legal bills. And in effect, when a station is running short of revenue, those are your choices. Other stations pitch in, as you often point out, with a proviso that the problem gets fixed, or you do layoffs, or you do massive reorganizations, or you look for off-air revenue, all of which are at play in Pacifica these days.
Thank you, and I apologize for Lamarne for asking so many questions one after the other.
That's for the meetings. That the only point is that it's where we are in time. So I'd just like to kind of touch some of the major points here. And it seems that, again, you know, we're at BAI, we're in the position where there was a recovery plan. There's this, the whole issue of not being able to meet the payroll in April, but we're like, you know, back in this no person's land, because it's like, well, the new GM is coming on and he can't do this because he'll feel it'll make him look bad. So, you know, what do we do? So, I mean, regardless of what wasn't done, we're in a position there where absolute steps have to be taken. So definitely the ED and the GM need to work with this and work with the recovery plan and understand this, because, again, you can't continue to bring down your endowment for these operating expenses. And the other stations who have actually reduced their revenue projections and their budget and their spending, you know, are the good people in this, and BAI continues to be the drain. But the other point that we were talking about was like where the funding is coming from, the endowment accounts. And Lani, what we had asked for, you had sent a little summary about where some of the funds had come from and identified the fund's name. But you still need to send us like T accounts to show these movements, because now you're saying this 185 or 169 is not So we need to see where this is coming, where it's moving from one account to the other, and then if it's moving over to an operating expense versus on the balance sheet, then the funds that came from the other endowment accounts from the national office, you know, that needs to be paid back. I mean, it needs to be transferred back. So, you know, the most important thing is you need to show us, or you need to, not us particularly, but you need to have, so that as part of this whole transaction, where are these funds, how these funds are moving, and just do simple T accounts. But, you know, you need to just show not only where that it identified, but show where it's going to and where it's going, you know, where it's coming out of. So,
yeah,
you know,
I did at the point, same time, but I'm planning to, I got an annotated balance sheet with our board meeting. To take
okay,
people
well, good.
Who, what, and when. That's what I plan to do at this board meeting. So I have, you know, I'm going to respond to the request for detail about, we got lucky in the national office. We got a $200,000 bequest at the last minute, which had been on, I think came in toward the end of last year, but the actual cash came in at the time the board was mandating some of those expenses. So that was rescued. That's the other stuff we got out of investment, as you know, and the stuff we, at the last minute, redoubled our effort on one of these mail drives and picked up $50,000 doing that. So that's how you sort of, you know, constantly trying to get the bill paid.
Excuse me, okay. This is Summer. May I be recognized?
Yes, please, Summer.
Hi. Okay, so I'm obviously brand new, and I've been reading the recovery plan. I guess a couple of quick questions, since it obviously, you know, it sounds like the station is hemorrhaging money. Is there an active search going on for an alternative property to bring down those rental expenses? And from what I gathered, there's like $170,000 of unallocated money. I guess the other two questions I have is, what is this debt of $300,000 that the station has? And last but not least, can whoever mentioned that there is a New York state law will allow people to go part-time and receive a third of their salary from unemployment. Isn't there a way to go to the union and to get as many people to voluntarily take part-time work where they're not going to actually experience a reduction in salary, but they will be helping to save the station they work for? Is there some way to work out like a mediated plan to have voluntary part-time, you know, to have people choose to do that and without having to make the new guy the heavy, but have it be more cooperative? And also, what is going on to actively find an alternative space to move the station to?
Well, those are all excellent points to make. Yes. Question is, what is the driver that will change and make and change and transform the station? Yes, what do you do with that extra money? We covered it. And what about introducing a plan where people will voluntarily sort of look at what's possible to help the station? What we're lacking at WBAI is you have enormous factionalism. That is, if you were to take a perfect plan to the board, it would fight about it and nothing would happen.
Mm.
That's the problem.
Really? Right? That goes on?
Oh, no kidding. I swear, I heard the rumors. That's part of the problem. The second one is that if you had us, assume we had a perfect plan and $1 million, someone came in and said, "Yeah, your station is having a problem. Here's $1 million." What would be the obstacles to that million being effectively used? The obstacles are, in some respects, management that doesn't know how to do what a lot of the components there in that recovery plan. They don't know how to. There's the history. There's the brain trust is not there to negotiate. Banks deal, or not, doesn't know about how to talk to the city in terms of looking at municipal bonds, for example. There are very few people that do, don't get me wrong, so I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying that the station hasn't got the volunteer cadre of people in the community that know how to do it, but they need to be able to attract those people to come in and help. That ability is not there. Even if you had $1 million, so someone says $1 million on a building that costs $2 million, you can now have it. Go ahead. Well, there would be. So this fellow is different in as much as he could manage transitions and transformations like that. That's why he's attractive.
And if we're talking about transforming staff and getting their cooperation, some of the same problems that exist at many stations is staff is divided too. LSB is divided. BNB is divided. And it effectively vetoes anything that anybody tries to do, because one faction will veto the attempts of the other faction, if not actively work against anything like a different project if they don't feel that, whatever reason, they don't like it or they don't think it'll work. So we are our own worst enemies in lots of ways. So I posed the issue, if someone came in and said, here's $10 million WBAI, what would be the station's ability to manage the money?
Yep.
That's really what I see. You need people on the ground who can take any given plan, move forward with it with some degree of cooperation from a minimum number of people in the organization, and that's what's now lacking. The tail is busy, the head is busy nibbling on the tail at all times, and it's difficult for genuine change to take hold.